by the way, statistics show that the that only about 15% of the dental community is doing that, which is not a very good percentage, and you know, has some room certainly to be improved upon. That statistic, by the way, is from the Oral Cancer Foundation, stating that only 15% of dentists do routine oral cancer screenings. So, you know, you have to, first of all, ask your dentist to do it if he hasn't, if he or she isn't already doing it. And secondly, start doing it yourself so that you, I mean, you have to take control of your own health and do it yourself so that you can then bring something to your dentist's attention. The question of the day is maybe a question I shouldn't be holding the answer to for till the end of the show, but I do think we can talk about you know, statistics, and we will get to the answer, because I think you'll be surprised at the number of people. But one thing I do want to say is that the number of people that are newly diagnosed with cancer, or were newly diagnosed with cancer in 2007, has increased 11% over last year. So 2007, the numbers went up 11% over 2006. Of course, 2008, we don't have data for, because it's only been 4 months. And I think that's probably surprising to people, because we keep hearing about how cancer rates are declining, you know, lung cancer, cervical cancer in women, breast cancer. We keep hearing about how those rates are going down. And the feeling is it's because of early detection, because of those self-exams, and because of the screening that is being done in the medical community, that those rates are dropping. Now, with oral cancer, I want to let you know that the death rate at 5 years from diagnosis for oral cancer is 50%. You have a 50-50 chance of surviving 5 years if you if you come down with oral cancer. On the other hand, if it's found early, then there's an 80-90% survival rate. So that's a big difference. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be in that 80-90% group, because I want to live to be a old person and get to know my grandchildren and my great grandchildren. And the 50% survival rate there, I don't know. Those aren't that great of odds. I don't think you find many people willing to take that bet, put much money up, huh? So, okay, now what you need to do then is realize, oh, alcohol. Alcohol is very much related to this increased incidence of oral cancer. When you mix alcohol and tobacco, and when I say tobacco, I don't mean just smoking, I mean snuff, I mean cigars, I mean, you know, chewing tobacco, everything that's a pipe smoke or pipe tobacco, those little they're called biddies, I guess. They're little flavored cigarettes and cigars, oftentimes imported from India. All of that adds up to attack the cells in your mouth with cancer cells. The reason people die, of course, is because it's not detected early. Now, let's look at the risk factors. Here we go. 90% of oral cancers occur in adults over 40. All right? However, all adults age 18 and older are considered to be at increased risk. But what's kind of alarming is over 25% of oral cancers that occur in people who don't smoke and have no other lifestyle risk factors. Now, that, if nothing else, is your reason to do your own self-screenings and ask your dentist to continue those at your semi-yearly visits, because or twice-yearly visits. Because 25%, that means a fourth of you out there who don't smoke, don't drink, aren't over 40, aren't predominantly male, are still going to come down with an oral cancer episode. And then the HPV virus is being extremely common, a sexually transmitted infection, is especially prevalent in young adults ages 14 to 24. Okay? So again, and I know, I remember when I was age 14 to 24, our parents tell us things, our doctor tells us things, and we think, you know, I'm just a kid, I'm kind of young, I've got plenty of time to start doing what I know I'm supposed to do, whether that's brushing properly, whether that's taking better care of yourself, self-exam for oral cancer. And so what you do is you just kind of don't do it. And you think that we're not talking to you, that we're talking to old people, or we're talking to, you know, just the men that smoke or whatever. The thing is that you need to be aware, and then keep in mind that that HPV virus that we're talking about for cervical cancer, so it plays a role in as many as 22% of oral cancer cases. So I know those are sobering facts, sobering figures. And again, it's you know, it's not a very sexy topic, but it is one that we need to explore. It is Oral Cancer Awareness Month, April, and we'll be back after the break, and we'll go in a little more detail about oral cancer and how it affects us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Keep smiling at trouble.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. If you have questions today, please give us a call at 821-1230, or you can email us a question to Dentally Speaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. We had a couple email guesses for our question of the day, which is, according to the American Cancer Society, each year, how many people die from oral cancer? John from Hilliard sent in a guess of 2,000. That's not correct. That's low. Mark from Grove City sent in a guess of 3,200. And Jill from West Jeff, 1,890. So those are all low, by the way. And keep your guesses coming. We'll be happy to... we're going to give you the answer here at the end of the day. And like I said, I think you're going to be surprised. All right, let's go to the phones. Elizabeth from Columbus, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth, and I was calling because I've been having problems with my gums. They hurt, you know, real bad. In fact, I had all my teeth pulled. I thought it was my teeth, but it's my gums that hurts me.
Okay, Elizabeth, so you have no teeth right now,
no,
upper or lower?
No, I have dentures.
Oh, you have the dentures. How old are the dentures?
They're about a year old.
1 year.
I mean, no, I'm sorry, about 3 months. No, about 5 months.
5 months old.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And let me ask you this, have they ever been comfortable? So for instance...
Yeah, they're comfortable, but my gums hurt me so bad.
Do they hurt you when your dentures are out?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, when you look in there, do you see any change in color? Do you see...
No, it's the same color. It just hurts me.
When you take your finger and you rub it across, say, the lower ridge, what does that feel like?
It kind of soothed it, but I've been using oral gel on it.
Okay.
To see if that numbs. And then I went to the emergency room and they gave me some pain pills, but I don't like taking pain pills. I really don't.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, honestly, for something like this, you need to be seen rather than just be on pain pills.
Uh-huh.
Is it the same when you touch the upper arch?
Both up and down hurts me.
Okay. Do you wear your dentures all the time?
No,
you take You take them out at night?
Uh-huh.
All right. Because
I soak them at night, that denture.
That's good, good. You should, because tissues aren't designed to be covered 24 hours a day. So you're doing the right thing there. Do you know if your dentist did an oral cancer screening when he or she saw you?
No.
You're pretty sure they didn't?
No, I know he didn't.
Okay. Well, what I would recommend is that you get one.
Do you know
one.
Anything about, he mentioned it might be, what is
gingivitis?
Yes.
Gingivitis only happens if you have teeth, so that might have been the original reason that your gums were sore.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But in fact, we have a saying in dentistry, the only healthy gum is a bald gum.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you have bald gums, and I'm just teasing you, of course, mm-hmm. That can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of getting it checked. Mm-hmm. There is a test for that. It's
how much something like that? Because I have a Medicaid card, but I mean I don't know if you take something like that.
Well, I don't know if Medicaid pays for it, but I'll tell you it's $65 at our office.
Uh huh.
And
what does that cover?
$65 is the oral cancer screening, as which includes a Visalite exam. Now, Visalite is this new product. It's relatively new, where we have a person rinse with like a raspberry vinaigrette type.
Yeah, he gave me a rinse. I had to get a prescription for this rinse, but it doesn't seem to help. He told me I was supposed to do it three times a day, but...
Well, that was more therapy. That was an oral cancer screening. The rinse I'm referring to is you rinse with it for 60 seconds, then you spit it out, and then what we do is we take a light.
Yeah, that's what he told me. I'm supposed to spit this out.
But did he use it in the office to then look for oral cancer?
No, he didn't do anything like that.
Yeah, I think you're confusing either Paradex or what we call magic mouthwash with this oral cancer screening liquid that I'm referring to.
Oh, okay.
So if you come in, there's this liquid, you rinse, then what we do is we close the blinds, we turn off the light, and then we take a light and we shine it in there, and we look for white spots. If anything glows white, then the next step is to take what's called...
I'll tell you another thing. I was fine, and they left a piece of my teeth in my gums. Ever since the orthodontist, is that what
the oral surgeon?
Yes. He pulled that out. I have been having this problem because I was fine till I had that. The other dentist left a piece of my teeth in my gum.
Has that since been removed?
Yes, but ever since then, that's when I started having that problem.
Well, I'll tell you what, it could be that you have a sharp edge of bone. It may not even be oral cancer, but...
No, I just think it's a bone because I was fine till he pulled that teeth out of my gum, but... The other dentist left.
Well, here's what you probably need to do then. You can, if you were to call and make an appointment, either at my office or someone else's, whichever.
Okay, now how much is it? Because I'm probably going to have to pay it myself. How much? I don't think Medicaid
would
pay for that.
Oh, gee. All I can tell you is, you know, that oral cancer screening is that $65 that I know of. And then the rest is based on what we see. You know, we have to get an x-ray. We have to check and that sort of thing. Once we know what it is, of course, my staff would be happy to tell you.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay, I'm going to make an appointment. I certainly appreciate you speaking with me.
Well, we appreciate your call.
I watch you when you're on your commercials.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Elizabeth. I look forward to meeting you.
Okay, I'm going
to
make an appointment, and thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Well, that's a very good point. I'm glad that she called because... you know, we get people thinking about this and paying attention, and, you know, it's very possible she's going to come into the office, and we may find oral cancer, and we may be able to save her life by doing so. So, you're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, But We're Too Numb to Ask. We'll be back after the break. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dr. Kvitko, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'd like to thank Elizabeth, our guest, for calling in with her question. And during the break, we received a couple more emails from people wanting to guess the answer to our question of the day, which you may remember is, according to the American Cancer Society, each year, how many people die from oral cancer? Tim from Powell sent in an email guess of 4,000. Carol from Reynoldsburg sent in one that a 5,000. Of course, I think people are guessing even numbers because there's no way you're going to guess the exact number, I'm thinking. Lana from New Albany, 4,800. As I mentioned earlier, the numbers, the earlier guesses were low, and these are still low as well. So keep your guesses coming, and we will definitely give you the answer here towards the end of the show. Now, so today's topic is oral cancer because it is Oral Cancer Awareness Month. And what I want to do is throw out some things that will help people understand cancer. I mean, we hear that word all the time, but maybe there's still some confusion about what exactly it is. So cancer begins in cells, which are the building blocks that make up tissues. And tissues make up the organs of the body. If this is too elementary for some of you, I apologize, but I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. So... then what happens is normally cells grow, and they divide and they form new cells as the body needs them. When cells grow old, they die, and new cells take their place. Sometimes this orderly process goes wrong, and new cells form when the body does not need them, and old cells don't die when they should. These extra cells can form a mass of tissue called a growth or tumor. Now, tumors can be benign, or they can be malignant. And we're talking about malignant, when you call it cancer, it's malignant. All right. We're going to stop here, take a question. We have Betty from Columbus. Betty, what's your question? I'm sorry. I think we might have lost her. Sorry, Betty. We may have hung up on you. If that's the case, please give us a call back. All right. Now, benign tumors are not cancer. Benign tumors are rarely life-threatening. Generally, they can be removed and they usually don't grow back. Cells from benign tumors do not invade the tissues around them, and cells from benign tumors do not spread to other parts of the body. Many of you may have had some kind of a benign tumor removed and got the report back and said it was nothing. Malignant tumors, on the other hand, are cancer. Malignant tumors are generally more serious than benign tumors, and they may be life-threatening. Malignant tumors often can be removed, but sometimes they grow back. Cells from malignant tumors can invade and damage nearby tissues and organs. And cells from malignant tumors can spread to other parts of the body. And the way that happens is cells spread by breaking away from the original cancer, which we would refer to as the primary tumor, and they enter the bloodstream or the lymphatic system, and they invade other organs, forming new tumors and damaging those organs. The spread of cancer is called metastasis. So, also, oral cancer is a part of a group of cancers called head and neck cancers. And oral cancer can develop in any part of your oral cavity or oral pharynx. And the oral pharynx, by the way, is the part behind, when you open real wide, the very back there, where you're into the airway. That's the oral pharynx. Now, and then the lymphatic system. That's something that I want to explain just a little bit. We hear a lot about it, but that's kind of mysterious. When oral cancer spreads or metastasizes, that's usually how it transfers through or travels through. Cancer cells that enter that system, the lymphatic system, are carried by lymph, which is a clear, watery fluid. And you have lymph nodes in your neck, you have lymph nodes under your arms, and, you know, if we were to refer to the cancer or breast cancer, oftentimes once there are women that when they have a mastectomy, they also have the lymph nodes removed in their armpit, because that's how the cancer cells were transferred from one site to the other. Now, cancer cells can also spread to other parts of the neck, the lungs, and other parts of the body. When that happens, the new tumor has the same kind of abnormal cells as the primary tumor. For example, if cancer spreads to the lungs, the cancer cells in the lungs are actually oral cancer cells. See, they're not. It's not like you didn't get lung cancer, you have oral cancer in your lung. And the disease is metastatic oral cancer, not lung cancer. So it's then treated as oral cancer, not lung cancer. And then some doctors will call this new tumor a distant tumor or a metastatic disease. So, you know, that's kind of, think about that. If you ignore your oral cancer, you then have, you can have it affect your lungs, you can have it affect your liver, your kidneys, all over the place, until eventually, obviously, you succumb to the disease and die. Okay, so hopefully that gives you a little bit of a chance to kind of key into what we're talking about. And now that I think about it, let me explain lymphatic a little better. Lymphatic system, the tissues and organs that produce, store, and carry white blood cells that fight infections and other diseases. This is the system that includes bone marrow, spleen, thymus, lymph nodes, lymphatic vessels, which are a network of thin tubes that carry lymph and white blood cells. And then the lymphatic vessels, they branch like blood cells into all of the tissues of the body. So you can see how dangerous it would be then for your cancer to get into the lymphatic system. Now, when you, and you know, it sounds like Elizabeth was not getting an oral cancer screening. So make sure that you start to do this yourself. And I also think it's neat that she called because she's a woman. And don't forget, this is primarily men, but didn't we just say that like 24% of the cases are in are people that don't have any of these risk factors? The numbers that we're hearing, you know, I have some information here from the American Cancer Society. And they talk about, you know, the fact that it's also, you know, they even say it's twice as common in men as women. And it's mostly only because men are more likely to use tobacco and alcohol. over long periods of time and in large enough doses. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we're seeing more and more women consume both tobacco and alcohol, young girls especially. But the likelihood of developing cancer increases with age, especially after 35. So half of all cancers are diagnosed in people older than 68. That doesn't mean that younger people don't have it. It just means that it's finally diagnosed, I think, finally located. 90% of patients with oral cancers use tobacco. That's a big, big percentage. Smokers are 6 times more likely than non-smokers to develop these cancers. You know, I have, I don't smoke, my wife doesn't smoke, and I thought my kids didn't smoke, but I now know that at least one of my children does, and it disturbs me. So if you're a young child, or I'm not a young child, if you're a young adult and you're considering smoking, your parents are saying, please don't, please believe them. Don't smoke. You don't want to be at risk of developing this either. So we'll go into more statistics and more ways that you can avoid oral cancer when we come back from the break. Go ahead and either call in your guests or send me an email. The phone number is 821-1230. The email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. Just Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today's topic is oral cancer. Not something that's very sexy, but certainly something that needs to be discussed, needs to be addressed, something that everyone should be taking notice of. The question that we're asking today is, according to the American Cancer Society, each year, how many people die from oral cancer? Well, the answer to that question is 7,550, or approximately one person per hour, which every day of the year, and that's just in this country, which means in the time that it's taking me to do this show today, which runs from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., somebody is going to die of oral cancer. And on my way home, someone else is going to die of oral cancer. And, you know, I don't want that to be any of my patients. I don't want it to be any of my listeners. Now, if you take those numbers, and let's put them in perspective for a minute. In the Vietnam War, which ran from approximately 1958 to 1974, there were something in the neighborhood of 48,000 or 50,000 soldiers that died. When you take that number and you compare it to these oral cancer numbers, every 5 3/4 years, the same number of people are going to die from oral cancer as died in all of the Vietnam War. Now, the World Trade Center attack, 3,000 people died in that. And we're going to have 2.5 times that die of oral cancer this year. And the current Iraq war, we have lost, I believe it's 4,000 soldiers in that war. And that's tragic. I know we have many, many, many more injured, you know, who have lost limbs but lived and are not part of that statistic. But that means that twice as many people are going to die of oral cancer this year than have died in the 5 years since we invaded Iraq. Now, I mean, to me, that means it's time to, you know, take note. Stand up, take note, try to figure out what it is that's causing, what can we do about it, and make sure that we as an individual don't become a casualty. Now, about 4 weeks ago, at my office, in a routine oral cancer screening, I discovered a white patch, one that did stain with that tea blue stain that we use in our oral cancer screenings. That's the one that I told Elizabeth earlier was the $65 oral cancer screening. To be honest, we normally do oral cancer screenings as part of our initial or our regular examination. This one, the only reason there's a fee is to go ahead with that particular chemical product that allows us to know for certain if we have a concern. So we did the tea blue, and sure enough, this spot that I was concerned about picked up the stain, and I scheduled the patient for a biopsy, and I had him back, and went ahead and did an incisional biopsy. Incisional, by the way, is where you take out part of it. Excisional is if you're certain you can get it all, you take out the whole thing and find out what it was. So we did the incisional biopsy. I tried to get as much of it as I could, meaning, there would be no way to know till you do a microscopic exam if I got it all. But my goal was to try to get it all, but I was pretty certain that I wouldn't be able to. Because you don't want to just take away natural structures and tissues haphazardly. So I went ahead and sent the biopsy off, and the oral pathology report came back that it was carcinoma in situ. So I have not only my, you know, I have personal connection with having both known a person who died of oral cancer and now discovered it in another, in a patient of mine. And so, you know, some questions that will occur in folks, let me just, you know, tell you would be something like, you know, let's say you come in and I tell you you need a biopsy, you might want to know why. And you want to know how much tissue I'm going to remove, and how long is it going to take, and will you be awake, and will it hurt? These are all valid concerns. So, you know, ask your doctor, ask your dentist, how soon will you have the results? In our case, we always mark the box that says, send us a fax as soon as you know, so that we can call our patient and let them know. If a biopsy has been suggested to you, go ahead and ask, are there any risks? You know, what are the chances of infection or bleeding after the biopsy? How should you care for the biopsy site afterwards? And how long will it take to heal? Questions like, will you be able to eat and drink normally after the biopsy? And if you have cancer, who's going to talk to you about treatment and when? So, you know, obviously the need for a biopsy should be clear. If you've been listening to everything else that we've said. And so when we come back in our final segment of the day, we're going to go into a few more of these aspects that of oral cancer that are going to help you be a better dental patient and maybe help you live longer. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dr. Kvitko, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today, the topic has been oral cancer, because April is Oral Cancer Awareness Month. So, we want you to know that you need to take an active role in your health. That would be doing self-exams, you know, lift your tongue up, look in there, look for any discoloration, any sore that doesn't heal, white spots, red spots. If you see anything, certainly bring it to the attention of your dentist. And then if your dentist is offering to do an oral cancer screening, you know, in fact, we do our oral cancer screenings as part of our routine exam. The only time we charge extra is when we do that that Visalite exam, the one with the chemical. Now, so, you know, how much tissue will be removed if you need a biopsy? The is only as big as it needs to be. Takes about, I don't know, 20 minutes to do a procedure like that. More often than not, people are awake, although I happen to do IV sedation in my office, so if somebody needs that, I can certainly offer that. Will it hurt? No, because you're numb. It won't hurt. So don't worry about that. Just get it done. How soon will you know the results? Honestly, it takes within about a week. It's a little less than a week. Are there risks? I guess there are risks with any surgical procedure, but meaning chances of infection or bleeding, but not really. I mean, these days we do make a little incision and stitch it up, and very rarely do you find one that doesn't heal or takes too long to heal. As far as taking care of the biopsy site, you just basically ignore it. You take your medicines that you were prescribed. Well, I guess you do avoid really, really hot liquids, anything that might melt or not melt, but hurt those new cells that are trying to grow. And then how long it'll take to heal is just how long you heal from a normal wound. It may take a little longer if indeed it turned out to be cancer. Might have a little harder time healing, and that could be an indicator to you as well. And then as far as being able to eat or drink after your biopsy, normal except for maybe not having foods that will physically injure it, like a celery or carrot or something real hot. And if you do have cancer, of course, you know, in my office, I would be the one to discuss it with you. And then I would get you referred to the appropriate entity to have your treatment. Now, once you have been diagnosed with cancer, sometimes an x-ray of your, some things that might be recommended would be dental x-rays. Of course, I might already have them. But an x-ray of your entire mouth would allow me to see if it had spread to your jaw. Chest x-rays would allow us to see if it had spread to your lungs. A CT scan, which is an x-ray machine linked to a computer, takes a series of detailed pictures of your body, and to do that, a dye is usually injected, and tumors in the mouth, throat, neck, or elsewhere in the body show up on the CT scan. An MRI, which is a powerful magnet linked to a computer, is used to make detailed pictures of your body, and a doctor can view these pictures on a monitor and can print them on film, so an MRI will show whether oral cancer has spread also. Now, you know, treatment is, we want you to take an active role, and it's natural to want to learn everything that you can about the disease and your treatment choices, but sometimes the shock of finding out that you do have cancer makes it hard for you to think of everything to ask your doctor. So, you know, remember what we talked about today. Maybe even make yourself a list and write them down. And, you know, I would love to think that today this show will change somebody's life. I like to think of that's what I do at the office anyway, is changing lives with the cosmetic makeovers and things that I do. And so we're going to look at today's show as maybe saving a life rather than just changing a life. I guess they're kind of the same thing. And, you know, please pay attention to these warning signs. Look at your life habits, your tobacco use, alcohol use, and see what you can't do to make yourself a healthier individual and allow you to live longer. Thanks for listening. This is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS.